Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
We will be looking at the effect that a range of coalitions could have on the landscape of after the election, and it's to me, as I think I used the phrase last week, it's like unraveling spaghetti, because the range of polls, which can only be a snapshot of the moment at which the poll was taken, they do vary. They involve canvassing different numbers, different questions. The length of the interviews vary considerably. So even the most expert and professional of pollsters, one is working with a high degree of professionalism, but it becomes very difficult for the layman like me to form any particular opinion of the likelihood of anything that comes out of a poll matched up against what else one reads and hears about polling, about the elections, about the results of existing by-elections. And I will be discussing that the consequence of one of those polls, but more particularly what it could portend in the way of coalitions, and then therefore how the country is governed, with my guests, who I'm waiting for. He's Jonathan Katzenellenbogen. He writes for the Daily Friend on issues of economics, politics, and finance, very well experienced, and you will see him regularly in the Daily Friend, and certainly the business-related publications and media like to pick up these articles, because they largely speak to the business community, who needs that sense of what they will be faced with post-election. And the one thing that's very difficult to provide in the context of the election and polling is that certainty. The rise of the MK party, which we now know is being led by the still ANC member, former President Jacob Zuma, has been polling extremely well, in the ranges of double digits, and appearing to be a real threat to its competition, which is the EFF and the ANC, and essentially it's the forces in our society that are not really instinctively democratic. So, Jonathan, sorry, you're muted. I can see you, but not hear you. And it's funny how difficult it is to get away from the possibility of being muted. Jonathan, hi.
Can you hear me?
Yes, thanks. I can. I can indeed. Jonathan, welcome. I've just been giving a little bit of introduction to the, shall we call it, almost bizarre world of political polling, particularly in this country, and despite having a number of very professional, credible polling entities, every poll can only reflect a particular point in time, and each is done differently. The nature of the questions, the size of the poll conducted, what is considered acceptable, what the margin of error is. And you had written for us an article based on the Brenthurst Foundation poll, which we heard about last month, and the essence of the poll. And I'll come to perhaps more recent developers that are we can't unpack in detail, but this is more to look at what it tells us about potential coalitions, and that is the fact that they polled that ANC is likely to obtain only 39% of the vote, which would take it 19 percentage points below what it won in 2019. So the essence of that means that for the ANC to retain power, it would have to go into coalitions. So the question, and my first question to you, is are Umkhonto's Sizwe Party and all the economic freedom fighters, the natural coalition partners. What benefits for the ANC? What benefits, in air quotes, for us?
Well, ANC will have to ask, you know, who's you know, with MK, it gets 13%, and it's over 51%. With EFF, it's just under. Now, it could try both, but we all know that entering in into a coalition with the EFF would be very difficult. It appears from their past conduct, particularly at local government, that they're more out to disrupt things than seriously wanting to form part of a governing coalition. So, say the ANC does join with MK alone, but there's uncertainty about that, because we don't know if the MK would in fact be on the ballot. They have this case in the electoral court, a game that the ANC has bought. It's for trademark infringement, because they don't want the ANC don't want the MK symbol is part, argues the ANC, is part of their history. So we don't in fact know, until that decision is made, the electoral court makes that decision, whether they will be on the ballot. But say they are on the ballot, that creates some interesting possibilities. It appears that MK is slightly disorganized. They only have an interim leadership at this stage. We don't know what the final leadership will look like. And the other thing is that Zuma can't be on the can't be elected either as to parliament or as or to lead the party or in a cabinet position because of his criminal record. So that's the big problem and the immense uncertainty over this entirely. And the other thing is, I think that the ANC might well go for MK over the EFF. Now, the MK, according to its manifesto, is more is slightly more moderate than the EFF appears. It doesn't want immediate expropriation without compensation, and in its manifesto, the MK say that it will. Land redistribution must not affect food production, agricultural production. So that shows a bit of moderation on their part. But, you know, we don't know what the final outcome is and who will lead the party, what will happen during the course of the campaign, whether they will be on the ballot. So there's a great uncertainty over that. Now, this poll has a margin of error of 3%. There were 1,500 people that were interviewed, and within that confidence interval, 95% confidence interval, EFF, the MK could be at 16%, and they could be down to 10%. So, you know, we just don't know. We just don't know. And also the other factor is that makes these polls at this early stage full of uncertainty is that the ANC usually gains a boost in the month, 6 weeks to a month ahead of the election. Their rallies, their well-organized rallies, their ANC leaders are on television and they remind people of why they should vote for the party. It tends to have an effect. So, you know, we can look at this poll as a general indicator, and I think it's better to view it as a look at other polls at the same time and see what the overall direction of travel is. And we know there will be a weakening of the ANC.
The just your comment on this. I mean, from what we said, the MK party appears to have started forming in mid last year, but when the sort of roof caved in was when Zuma came up as the essentially the progenitor of this party and the face, and clearly appealed to the. It was masterful in the sense that it left the ANC completely flat-footed. So they've suspended his membership. They will not. They will certainly not fire him or dismiss him before the election. Some people have suggested that it's a sort of very crafty ruse on the part of the ANC because of its. It knows that it's losing its popularity. What's your sense of that?
I take the theory behind that was that it would set up Zuma to create another party and they'd come in with him.
Yeah.
I think, as with many conspiracy theories, it's a bit too complicated. I don't think things are going well between, from all we see, things are not going well between Zuma and the ANC. They have accused him of, you know, there's the accusation that he was involved in the July 2021 disturbances. I don't think so. Mm. I think that this is motivated by a desire to, it's a display of Zulu nationalism to an extent.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also to hit at the ANC, you know, and possibly a deal over his criminal convictions and other things might be made.
Mm.
That might be one of the ulterior motives between the launch of this party.
Mm.
And it's for the cadres and those who've been nominated for parliament by the party, when they get their list together, they will want their positions. I don't see it as a ANC spin-off to try and then bring them in and consolidate the vote, and this would capture the anti-ANC vote. No, I don't think so. And I think many people would be voting for Zuma because things have not gone well. I think the ANC has been damaged, really, lack of delivery, its corruption. But now, added to this, we've had this bout of inflation. The fuel price increase has spread through food, has affected food prices and oil prices. And I think people are living through much hardship. Also, there's no real job creation. The economic growth is very, very low, only at 0.6% last year, which is absolutely pathetic, really. But I think the inflation has really taken a toll on ANC support as well.
Right. In that case, the possibility, from your point of view and your response to this poll, of the ANC looking to coalition with the multi-party coalition, which would include essentially all the opposition parties that choose to belong to or admitted to the coalition, excluding the EFF. In other words, by and large, and not all of them, but by and large, people who actually have democratic impulses and actually want to make a change. Would this be enough?
Well, the MPC, the multi-party charter parties, DA and the others, Action SA and so forth, get 33% in this poll, of which 27% goes to the DA, and that's one of its highest. I don't think we've seen it in these polls, polling as high as that. So yes, it is a possibility. The numbers would certainly be there, but I think it would be extremely difficult for the DA and the MPC, and they might lose support as a result of that, because they'd have no power over the government departments, which are staffed with ANC cadres on the whole. I think it would be very, very difficult. And they might well have to make a very hard decision of whether to go in with them. And the circumstances in which they do that would be to keep out the EFF.
Mm.
And Ramaphosa could also form a government of national unity if they get under 50%. And the invitation then would be made to the MPEC, and they'd have to decide how to go about this, how to allocate the seats that would be offered to them. It would put them in a very difficult situation, and might be very damaging. But you could do this coalition on, you could reach a what they call a supply and confidence vote. So on votes on the budget, you'd vote for with the ANC, and votes on, if it ever should come to that, votes on confidence in the government, you'd vote for the ANC. But on other matters, for instance, foreign policy and other issues, you could argue against the ANC and vote against the ANC.
And this is very much, in fact, the way the EFF has operated in its coalitions at municipal level. And generally, the impression one gets from by-elections, which are not, you know, a sufficient marker of what will happen at the national and provincial level, is that the EFF has been pretty much nowhere. But just to come back to the idea of a government of national unity, as you say, it could be presented to really give the MPC Hobson's choice scenario, but the ANC, I think, could largely be regarded as the creator or the supporter for the government of national unity in Zimbabwe, and there can't be a lot of places in the world where anyone actually benefits in the long run, because the more powerful parties, who in our circumstances are the ones who portend worse for the economics of this country, it's actually a non-starter. It's almost a PR exercise. Or am I wrong?
I think so. You know, with the experience of the MPC, the MDC, in Zim.
Well, yeah.
Would argue against this. They were just the ZANU-PF just worked around them. And remember, that compromise was reached as a result of a disputed election. So Mugabe said, "Okay, come into government with us," and they went. Into government. You face this Hobson's choice. Because on the one hand, you want to prevent the country and the economy from deteriorating, and you want to have influence this and do what you can. And you go into this arrangement, but you find that in the end, you have no influence. So I think it would be very difficult. And they'd certainly have to discuss it within the MPC. You know, the stated position of the DA is that they won't go into coalition with the with the ANC, but you know, things change in politics. But I think it would be very dangerous.
Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
Jonathan, I think it goes without saying that if the if the national government after the election is a combination of ANC, MK, and or EFF, or any variation like that, the chances of attracting the much needed investment, both local and foreign, is pretty much nil. And people have bandied about quite a lot the idea, assuming that things change to the point where the ANC and the DA together, or maybe one or two other parties, could form a coalition. Would this actually be workable in the sense that the ANC controls the public sector and has done for 30 years? It's not a principled organization, and the DA is. It's poles apart. It's on the opposite sides of the spectrum in terms of economic systems and etc. Is there a way that somehow this could get around it? I have to say, my own feeling is that again, you know, the ANC is the incumbent, and it would be like putting apples and oranges, you know, trying to meld them. I'm sure I can find a better analogy, but what do you think?
I don't see them giving up. For instance, the ANC, you know, in coalition with the DA, if that ever happened, I think there would be an immediate split over the question of privatization. You know, we've had bailout after bailout of the public sector, billions and billions of rand, you know, over 250 billion rand for Eskom so far, you know, nearly 50 billion rand for SAA so far. You know, it's not working. It's a drag on, it's an immense drag on the economy, Eskom and Transnet. And the DA would feel duty bound to do something about this, and there'd be a fundamental disagreement. The ANC says is feigning moves to bring in the private sector, but it's all well short privatization. And look at what's happened in SAA. That deal collapsed, and that deal would still have given the state an immense say in the runnings of SAA. For instance, although the state would have only had 49%, they had an extra 33% of voting stock. It would have been a very inequitable arrangement and fallen far short of privatization. So I don't see true privatization happening under the ANC or under an ANC-DA coalition. There'd be very little that I think the DA could achieve. I think even if at the risk of the further deterioration of the economy, the DA and the MPC would be best advised to wait it out and build their support over the next 5 years.
And one comment, just perhaps you want to comment on before we close, is a view from a colleague that perhaps the DA has to be much more strategic in how it decides what level of government it needs to really try to capture, whether it's rather municipal rather than national, provincial or provincial, but less, not so much national and municipal, or a combination of that. And this, there is some strong possibility that a coalition, the ANC would lose Gauteng. So it would be a coalition, the MPC, etc. That surely might be a more, if it comes about, would be a more pragmatic way to actually make a dent, is to actually have control of the two big provinces of the country.
And also they had, of course, before MK came around, they had hopes for ruling KZN with Inkatha, who are part of the MPC. Yes, I think that you have a point there. But even in multiple municipalities, they've had immense trouble. Mm-hmm. You know, there was a DA mayor in Johannesburg, but they couldn't do much. You know, against immense union power and a bureaucracy that is filled with ANC supporters. I think it was tremendously difficult. But ultimately, I think, and this is what's happening in Pretoria, I think power is where power goes, and Cillia Brink is gradually restoring things in Tshwane. But what can they really do at provincial level? The problem is that the provinces don't have much power anyway. They run the hospital, so they could well run things far better than they are run at the moment. You know, the problems in the hospital center in Gauteng's hospitals are just overwhelming. I think they could do a good job there. They could do a good job in provincial education. I think if they just showed they could turn these things around, and of course on municipal roads, they could do at least provincial roads, they could improve things. So I think, yes, I think it's certainly worth trying. And, you know, even if they don't get national government, they will still, it seems, get at least, I saw in the poll, about 35% in Gauteng, and then they could patch it up with a few other parties. Action SA could do well in Gauteng, and there might be a few other parties that could make up the 50%, 51%.
Yeah. And so, as you say, the scope in provinces is not that great, but if you can improve something, things as fundamental to us as those you've mentioned, it may be the basis for a longer term strategy that could be successful and improve the economy. Jonathan, thank you very much for joining us and trying to unpack, as I say, you know, we've already had a new poll that has a very different result. It's been too soon to drill down into it. So, you know, I think a day is a long time in South African politics. Thank you very much, Jonathan.
Pleasure. Thanks.